Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you. Drew Nixon producing the show. Logan Weber filling in for Cody. Bank will be in for Cody tomorrow. And then we should have the full Cody and Gold crew back on Wednesday as Cody returns from his surgery. We'll let him explain some of the stories attached. We called him on Friday, though. We did call him on Friday. He sounded hoarse, Logan. He sounded very hoarse, and I don't know if that was the meds or what was going on, but we'll check in with him when he's back on Wednesday. Don't forget, here on a Monday, 30 Hop, our Monday lunch partner on Cody and Gold. $5.99 classic burgers all day long. Check out their location in Lee's Summit, also in Merriam Grand Station. You can stop in for lunch, but stay for happy hour, 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio, just $5.99 classic burgers today. We will get to stock up, stock down. Moving it around a little bit today with Andy Reid's press conference running a little late. So we'll get to that in about 8 minutes or so. But I do want to discuss bigger picture. This is not about just yesterday, because I think I told you it's clearly coaching. But who gets the most blame, just where the organization currently sits? Like, I understand they're 5-5. And if we did this exact same question 4 weeks ago, nobody would have wanted to maybe even discuss this. But they're a 5-5 team. They've got some big-time contracts to pay out in the offseason. They've got some tough decisions to make. This past year's draft right now, of course, we always said it all is going to be dependent on Josh Simmons. And when he's played, he's looked awesome. But we all know he missed 5 weeks, and hopefully things are in a spot where he doesn't miss any more time. I actually thought he played really well yesterday. So if I were to ask you to divvy up on a pie chart, and you guys can call in on this if you want, or text 913-586-7965, who gets the most blame for where the organization is at now and moving forward? Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Patrick Mahomes. There's somebody else. Somebody wants to throw in Clark Hunt's name. I don't know necessarily why, but if you want to, go ahead. I think first and foremost, it's Andy Reid still, because ultimately he controls the entire coaching staff, number one. So if you have an issue, in my opinion, with Tobe or Spags, to me, that funnels into the Andy Reid category. I'm not going to divvy this up in between Andy Heck and Joe Colan and, like, all of a sudden start giving a 0.5% to position coaches. Right. At least that, to me, I'm not going to do that. But so Andy Reid is the biggest chunk of the pie here from a in-game situation, how he is so loyal maybe at times to a fault, to coach / player. I think also, no personnel move, whether he says it or not, happens without him at least somewhat signing off. So he gets the biggest chunk, I don't know, you know, 60% or so at least, probably, of the pie. Brett Veach is probably in the 10 to 15% category, maybe up to 20. And then after that, Patrick Mahomes, again, I'm not going to do the hardcore breakdown here of each piece, but Patrick Mahomes would be the next on my list for where they're at as an organization. He is not playing well, but I think some of the play calling is contributing to that, if that makes sense. he is flat out though pressing. So where are you at in the text line? I'm curious to get people's perspective, because I would love to hear the case where somebody is a bigger chunk of the blame pie for organizationally where they're at right this second, and how you feel about them moving forward than Andy Reid.
Yeah, earlier in the show, I had said that I think Brett Veach shoulders more of the blame than I would say you put him in, that 10 to 15%. I lean more towards him he's 25 to 30%, in my opinion. I'm a little bit less, I have him less than Andy Reid. I didn't earlier in the show because you pointed out Veach is Andy's guy. You know, Veach wouldn't be where he is without Andy. Veach, if Veach were to go to Andy Reid and say, I want to fire Dave Tobe, Andy Reid, if he were to say no, Dave Tobe still has his job, right? That's the relationship that those two have. It is different than any other GM head coach relationship, I would argue, in the National Football League. So when you bring that up, I hadn't thought about it to that extent yet, so it puts a little bit more of it on Andy, in my opinion. But I think Brett Veach deserves a little bit more criticism than he's getting. He also deserves all the praise at the same time, right? He's the first guy, and we've heard it over and over again, he was the first guy to see Patrick Mahomes on a tape that he was watching when he was a scout, you know, and putting him in the face of Dorsey and Andy. You know, he's a guy that has really advocated for some really good players, but there have been two glaring issues for Brett Veach that I think puts a little bit more of the blame on him. Not as much as Andy, because you're right, Big Red does have final say. The free agent acquisitions, or lack thereof, have been very, very harmful, I think, for this Kansas City Chiefs team in recent years. Bringing Jawan Taylor over from Jacksonville, I don't think has been a terrible move. I think the contract is terrible. The amount of money that you're giving Jawan Taylor has really, I think, hindered this Chiefs team. The lack of strength in going after positions of need in free agency. They haven't gone after a real difference maker at running back in the last few years. We talked about it earlier, mm-hmm. Not that they'd end up using him anyway, but you know, when Elijah Mitchell is your free agent answer at running back, there's really no opportunity for that to be the solution. And on the defensive line, we all talked over and over and over again about how defensive line was the problem. Yeah, you went and you drafted Omar Norman Lott and you drafted Ashton Jelati, but what do we know about Andy Reid and his philosophy? They don't use rookies early in their careers. It is a long-standing tradition of rookies having impacts later in the year or even into year two, but not right off the bat. Well, what do you do in free agency or in the market in the offseason to try to address defensive line? Well, you let Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell walk just to trade for one of them and sign the other off waivers after he was cut in the middle of the season. Oh, and then you sign Jerry Tillery, a former high draft pick who has had little to no NFL production whatsoever. So I understand, I'm with you that Andy has final say-so and he's the one signing off on these moves, but I don't know if Veach is doing enough in terms of finding these guys and bringing them to Andy in the first place to try to make things happen.
Yeah, he's certainly not absolved from criticism. I'm not acting like it's been a perfect operation. I think in season right now, I think it is way more about coaching, lack of adjustments, adapting, game plan, Mahomes, his execution. That's where I'm at for like this season. I think the challenging thing moving forward is going to be because of decisions in the front office. This is where Brett Veach will get criticism. Where they're at, you know, the Chris Jones contract and what that position, what that has put them in now positionally heading into the offseason, right? With the production they're getting and then knowing that like there's no really getting out of that. He's on this team next year. They got to work on that cap number. Knowing that they're going to have to figure out the contract for Trent McDuffie and make a tough decision either to retain him or try to see, is there an opportunity to get multiple draft picks the way
Jalen Watson,
that Sauce Gardner got multiple draft
Leo
picks.
Leo Chenal.
You know, this roster though, here's the thing. This roster as it's currently constructed, while we may all agree even before yesterday's game that there are flaws, of course there are. This roster, this is where it's coaching to me. This roster is better than a 5-5 roster. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Like plain and simple. So Brett Veach should get criticized, but the reason why it's much further down on the pie chart for me, this roster is not a 5-5 roster. So then what do you say? Then what is it? Well, some of it is, you know, the one score game stuff, regression of the mean, sure. right? You're not going to win every single one score game. Fine. But okay, let's say instead of being 0-5, they're 2-3. Well, then they've got 7 wins right now. So to me, this year, what has happened this year, Patrick Mahomes eats a much bigger piece of the pie, and Andy Reid and the coaching staff, to me, is way more responsible for what is happening currently than I think we maybe want to admit. Brett Veach, we'll have plenty of time in the offseason, and we have this past offseason. I told you, I thought just bringing back Kareem Hunt, spending a 7th-round pick on a running back, that to me was not a smart way to approach personally, how they went about the offseason and not valuing running back at all. And that can still be true while also acknowledging that yesterday Kareem Hunt was effective and they still wouldn't run the ball. So that's why I say what is happening results right this second are far more on the coaching staff.
I agree with
you. We're going to get to the phones. Drew, go ahead. And then we'll get to the phones. 913-586-7965.
Yeah, I was going
to
say real quick, somebody from the 016 says everything's stale. Same players that can't make it on any other team in every position group. It's the same guys, the same play calling. They don't want anybody that doesn't know the system. They're loyal to a fault. I do wonder, and I think Cody brought this up. I don't know when it was exactly, but we brought up the whole, I think Matt Nagy came up, and let's say, well, Matt Nagy moved on. I think Cody mentioned something about Andy needing to get a player that's not from a system that he knows and just get somebody else from the outside.
A player or a coach?
I think it was a coach. Somebody to give a different perspective on the offense that hasn't been in his circle before or anything like that, where you get this loyal to a fault thing where sometimes it's good to hear other people's opinion that you don't, not that you don't trust, but it's good to hear things that are just different, and maybe you don't agree with all of it, but it gives you something that you can take and make a little change that actually ends up making a bigger difference.
Yeah, that's in the rundown for tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
You're good. That's fine. That's a whole topic tomorrow, exactly. Anyways. Which is, having a fresh set of eyes and a fresh voice. Yeah. It's a whole conversation. No, I think it's fine to bring it up. We will dive deeper into that tomorrow. My only thing, real quick, without spoiling the whole conversation for tomorrow, is and Bink will join me, and I want to get his thoughts on it tomorrow. Is we can say bring in a fresh voice and fresh set of eyes all we want, but if Andy Reid is not willing to give that person and actually utilize said adjustment, he doesn't need to revamp his entire offense. Nobody's saying that. But I don't know. Any walk of life, right? Like I don't care what business you run. If you've been in business for a while and sales are flat and you're like, man, I need to bring someone in with some new ideas. Like, they're going to help me with my sales. But then you don't like their ideas and you refuse to try them, then it was a waste of time bringing in the new person anyway. Yep. So that we will talk about that tomorrow because I don't disagree. All right, 913-586-7965. Before we get to stock up, stock down, I do want to read some texts. And also, John's been waiting patiently. John in Chanute out south. John, you're on with Cody and Gold.
I blame Andy Reid, and I think that he needs to insist that there's the running of the ball, the player. Also, don't have a player that the opposite team can predict what they're going to do. They need to be very secretive, and if there's somebody leaking secrets out, they need to investigate that. But I put the blame on Andy Reid.
Hey, thanks for the call, John. Yeah, look, Andy Reid to me bears the majority of the responsibility. I think I don't really think there's much to debate. Like, I think we can have the conversation about Brett Veach and Mahomes, et cetera, but ultimately, this is his show. Mm-hmm. This is his show.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I also think that, some of that 30 to 35 that I'm putting on Veach has something to do with the relationship that he has with Andy Reid. What makes it special can also be its undoing, where Andy having final say-so or final sign-off on every decision that Veach makes is not normal and is not necessarily the way that it's supposed to be. And the fact that Veach is allowing that to happen, I feel like does put a little bit more blame on him, because the job of the general manager is to be the final line in the sand of, I like this guy. Your head coach may not like that guy, but sometimes those are the decisions that have to be made. You don't answer to the head coach. The head coach answers to you. At least that's the way it's generally supposed to happen.
All right, let's get to a little stock up, stock down. We typically do this on Mondays around 12:10. Some things got shifted around with the presser starting a little bit later. Stock up for me, we're talking about coaching. I guess I'm on a coaching theme today. This one's stock up, though. Vic Fangio's Eagles defense, I mean, it is hard not to be extremely impressed. Now, he, to his credit, was given an extra resource or two in the last week or so as well. Jalen Phillips looks awesome. If he can stay healthy, that's the key with Jalen Phillips. Will he stay healthy? But Vic Fangio's defense, what they just did to Jared Goff is next level stuff. Like, next level stuff. And I'm going to use that probably for my stock down as well. But it's just Eagles defense. While they still are maybe a boring watch offensively, that defense is why the Eagles, I think at last check, are Super Bowl favorites.
They are. Absolutely. My stock up is another coach, another coordinator. My stock up is Joe Brady's head coaching possibilities. I know everybody is talking ad nauseum today about Josh Allen's performance in that game yesterday against the Buccaneers, and rightfully so. Six total touchdowns. But I don't think what's being talked about enough is what Joe Brady has done since he came over as the offensive coordinator for this Buffalo Bills team. This man, I thoroughly believe, is going to be a head coach next season. Yesterday's performance has benefited that, and he hasn't just made Josh Allen better. I mean, James Cook is in the middle of a career year while you have the reigning NFL MVP at the quarterback position. They're doing this with little to no weapons in terms of your wide receiver core. Dalton Kincaid didn't play yesterday. Keon Coleman was a healthy scratch because he missed a team meeting, and you still coached an offense to 44 points. Joe Brady is a very, very impressive offensive mind. A lot of people saying he's going to be a college head coach next year. I think this man should be a head coach at the highest level of football in the NFL a season from now. May end up being the head coach of your Cincinnati Bengals next year, trying to help along Joe Burrow, Drew.
He's been there, done that with Joe Burrow, actually, too, which I think maybe that improves the chances of that happening if they move on from Zach Taylor. My stock up is Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers, but particularly Bryce Young, who had a career day yesterday. Granted, it wasn't overtime, but he had already passed his career high in passing yards before they got to overtime. He had 448 passing yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions, a very good quarterback rating as well. It feels like, and obviously Ted McMillan continuing to just be really, really good. Xavier Leggett also had a good game yesterday too, but it feels like if we can get a full season of what Bryce Young could be, he, I think, would fit into the category of what we would expect out of a first overall pick, a first round pick, which is being in the top half of the league, fighting for a shot to be in that top 10. But it's just the inconsistencies at times that have gotten Bryce Young. But hey, Carolina's 6-5. They're a game out of the division right now, which is probably the more likely of the two to make the playoffs. I know they're ninth, I think, in the playoffs right now, but the schedule is not that favorable for Carolina going forward, but I wanted to give Bryce Young a little love because he had a career high yesterday. He looked very good.
Well, it's good to see, too, because the last couple games, even though the Panthers have been winning, he'd been throwing for like 140 yards, 130 yards.
Yeah.
It was pretty, you know, pedestrian, to be nice. But, yeah, that was big time yesterday. All right, stock down. Going back to the Eagles game last night a little bit. Stock down Jared Goff in cold weather games, right? Not Jared Goff, just in cold weather games. Come playoff time, it's looking like the Lions are going to have to go outdoors, right? I don't think they're going to be the number one seed. So the Bears are leading the NFC North right now. The Lions would be out of the playoffs. Right now, the Lions would also be out of the playoffs, just like the Chiefs, just like the Ravens. In his career outdoors, he's under 50 degrees, I'm sorry. He's a sub 60% completion passer. And last night, if anybody watched the game, I know some of you might not have wanted to watch because you're just bummed out, but that Jared Goff looked terrible. He was off. It wasn't just like drop passes. No. Like he can't play in the cold. He can't. Now his numbers have been better in the last 5 years because he's in Detroit than like when he was in LA, even, and it was even worse. He's obviously a much better quarterback now, was an MVP candidate a year ago. And I think overall the Lions, the football team, will be fine. But if they got to go on the road in the playoffs, I will be fading Jared Goff.
He had a QBR of 9.5 yesterday.
Yeah.
He was 14 of 37.
California kid, played high school football in California, played at Cal, gets drafted by the Rams. And then when he does finally go up north, he's playing in a dome. Yeah, the cold weather does not suit Jared Goff by any stretch of the imagination. My stock down is another guy who played college ball in California, Sam Darnold.
Mm.
I was completely bought in last year with what he did in Minnesota, despite the fact that he completely collapsed in that Week 18 game against the Lions and then that ensuing wild card game. Early on in the year, he looked fairly good with Seattle. But in the last 4 weeks, this man has thrown 7 of his 10 interceptions on the season. And that includes 4 yesterday against the Los Angeles Rams. It's a game that Seattle lost by 2 points, and you turned it over 4 times. Not a good day by Sam Darnold, guy who's been one of the more accurate quarterbacks in football this season, but he only completed 65% of his passes yesterday. 4 picks. You know, he became very, very like one track minded with trying to get JS in the football. Not that I can blame him. Jackson Smith and Jigba has been remarkable this year, but my goodness, he did more to lose his football team the game than maybe any player in the National Football League yesterday for Seattle.
Did you see what Ernest Jones said after the game? Yeah. Where he beat back this guy. You know, he was like,
he told people to go F off if you don't like his quarterback.
Yeah, because of,
I like his quarterback. I don't like the way his quarterback played yesterday. Pure and simple.
Yeah.
He says for you to go F off.
All right, fine.
My stock down is another quarterback, and it is Justin Herbert. Holy smokes, man. I know that the offensive line is bad, but we have seen quarterbacks who are supposed to be in that elite category play good with bad offensive lines, and he was atrocious yesterday. Not only do they get beat 35-6 by Jacksonville, and he also gets outplayed by Trevor Lawrence again, but he had 81 passing yards, no touchdowns, a pick. His average completion was 4 yards. Surprisingly enough, his QBR actually was better than Jared Goff's, but Justin Herbert, he looked good to start the year. It's like, okay, maybe they're turning a corner. The Chargers are starting really good, 3-0 in the division. Justin Herbert looks like a legit maybe MVP candidate after the first few games. And then it's just gone downhill, falling flat on the face. And I know offensive line has obviously been a big part of some of the struggles at least, but he just has not been a quarterback that seems to elevate his team even when they're missing some guys.
That is stock up, stock down here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, Monday's football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success at Busey Bank. They've been building businesses and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com. We'll get to what's trending. Then I want to talk more about something we discussed late last week that the Broncos were trying to accomplish, that they completed part one. What's part two? We'll also discuss how we view the Broncos as a legit Super Bowl contender. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Next.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Well, number one on what's trending, obviously, the Chiefs dropping to 5-5 on the season after the loss yesterday in Denver. Kansas City will host the Colts on Sunday. We heard from Andy Reid earlier today. If you missed any of what he had to say or any of the show today, of course, podcasted through the Odyssey app, wherever you podcast as well. Kansas City currently ninth in the AFC. We were discussing this earlier. I think they have to go 6-1 because of the spot they're in tiebreaker-wise. I think 6-1 gets you in. 5-2, I don't think is good enough because I think you're going to lose out on tiebreakers. But I do think 6-1, that's a hell of a run they would have to go on, man. They've got 5 wins all year, and I'm asking them to win 6 of their last 7. That's the challenge. That's the real conversation we're having today and the real conversation for probably the rest of the season with the Chiefs.
I hope I'm wrong, but I have absolutely no confidence in the Chiefs being able to accomplish that. Number two on what's trending, we've got some college football news from over the weekend. Let's start with the Missouri Tigers, a 49-27 beatdown of Mississippi State, led, of course, by the 300-yard rushing game by Ahmad Hardy. He had 25 carries, a hat trick in terms of his rushing touchdowns in this one as well. Makes you wonder why Ahmad Hardy wasn't getting, 15 touches a game in those losses against Texas A&M or Alabama earlier this year. He's the best player on your team. Drink, maybe get him the football. Meanwhile, KU on a bye. K-State wins ugly against Oklahoma State behind 5 turnovers forced by that Wildcats defense.
14-6 win for K-State. Local college basketball tonight. K-State taking on Tulsa. That one at 7. Mizzou taking on Prairie View A&M. KU over the weekend got a win over Princeton without Darren Peterson. The Jayhawks tomorrow, we'll talk more about it. They have Duke in the Champions Classic, and all signs pointing to Darren Peterson not playing. In fact, much longer absence for him. We're going to discuss that tomorrow on the show.
Number four in what's trending, big news out of the NFC South. It appears that Michael Penix, starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, is expected to miss the rest of the year. He is being put on injured reserve. That came directly from the Atlanta Falcons. It appears a left knee injury. They believe that he has some damage to his ACL. They're going to take some more tests to clarify it further. But this is big news for somebody like Michael Penix, who has a lengthy injury history already. Remember, he tore his right ACL twice while he was in college at Indiana. This would be an ACL tear on the left side if that's what comes to fruition. Bad knees for Michael Penix could end up being the undoing of this young first-round pick.
So Kirk Cousins gets the nod the rest of the way. Monday Night Football tonight, Raiders hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas about a 3.5-point favorite tonight. Remember, Kansas City gets the Cowboys in 2 weeks. And lastly on what's trending, Logan, over the weekend, Google and Disney, ESPN, YouTube TV ended their disputes. We're all back. I know Drew was very happy about that. Did you get the $20 credit before it came back too?
Yep.
So you get that as well. There you go.
I did.
2 weeks of not having it for $20, and we get the unlimited stuff.
I was going to say, I think that's great.
Problem is, in January or February, I'm guessing YouTube TV is going to raise their rate. So that $20 credit will end up going away very quickly.
Yeah, my guess.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Logan Weber with you. Cody back on Wednesday. Bink in with me tomorrow. Something we talked about on Friday, at least Bink and I did, Logan, was kind of the stages of where the Chiefs were at going into the game. You know, I thought it was like a somewhat of a validation game opportunity for the Broncos. Validate what they had already done. You can be skeptical about Bo Nix, et cetera, but they validated what they have done. They're now a 9-win team. They just beat Kansas City in what the Broncos were calling their biggest home game in a decade. And we called it here in Kansas City the biggest regular season game for Patrick Mahomes. And the Broncos, of course, came out on top. The Broncos accomplished part one of, you know, knocking the king off the throne. They did in the AFC West. The question is, did they by winning that game knock them off of the entire NFL throne to a certain extent? Like the Eagles, you can say, are on the throne right now, but I'm talking no, like playoff run stuff, still being the team to beat in the AFC and all that kind of stuff. Part one is done. The division is over. The Broncos or Chargers, I think it'll be the Broncos, are going to win that division. I don't see how on earth anybody can make a strong case that the Chiefs are winning out and then the Broncos are going to fall apart and the Chiefs are winning the division. Come on. That is some Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
That I don't think anybody can really even be sipping on. So that's over. But part two, the next phase is either not making the playoffs, which is, it sounds like you think will not be the case, that they won't make it. And I totally get it. Or a first round type of exit. That's the next phase. Like the complete picture of like, hey, they're just in the wash with everybody else. Like I know in the standings right now, you'll say that, but I'm talking narrative. I'm talking why you and I have said, hey, nobody fears them anymore. All that is already accomplished. The last step is if the Chiefs don't make the playoffs. Tomorrow, we're going to talk more about Tom Brady's track record in New England and the dynasty and everything. Tom Brady missed the playoffs one time when he was healthy for a full season. One time. Is this that time for Patrick Mahomes? And so that's why this year and now the rest of the way is also big. If you buy into legacy stuff, the Mahomes fourth quarter magic hasn't been there this year, guys. He's completed 44.7% of his passes when he's tied or trailing in the fourth quarter. That's dead last in the NFL in that stat. That's not all on him. That's a play calling stat as well. But that just tells you like all the normal, like what Sean Payton, we played the audio earlier when Sean Payton was saying, you know, we feel good where we're at. The team we're playing is a first half team, not a second half team. That's how people feel they are now, that the Chiefs aren't closers anymore. 0-5 in one score games. Mahomes with the worst completion percentage in those spots in the NFL right now.
You had two drives when it was 19-16 Chiefs leading and when it was a 19-19 tie in the last 8 minutes of the game. Chiefs ran six plays for a total of -3 yards and took less than 3 minutes off the clock. They are just not that club, at least not right now. If they can show us otherwise over the next 7 weeks, we will gladly welcome it. But right now, they are not that team in the fourth quarter anymore. The analogy that I have is when you talk about, you know, where the Chiefs are right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are a heavyweight boxer, heavyweight champion of the world, who just got knocked to the canvas, and the official just threw out the 8 count. That's where we are right now. They're on number 8 of the 10 count, where they are right there on the edge of being completely knocked out. And I compare it to Aaron Rodgers' time in Green Bay. This feels a lot like that 2013 Packers team where they went and won the Super Bowl in 2010. They came back in 2011. They went 15-1. They were still the class of the NFC, but they somehow lost a divisional round game to the New York Giants, right? And then they go 11-5 in 2012. But that Rodgers contract and all that money you had to shell out to those big name guys who helped you win a Super Bowl started to rear its ugly head that you couldn't plug holes in other spots. They go 8-7 in that 2013 season, and they ended up actually making the playoffs that year. They lost a wild card game. The only difference is the Chiefs don't have the benefit of a terrible NFC North to play in every year, right? Rodgers and that Packers team made the playoffs way more than they should have in that tenure because of how bad their division was. The Lions were a joke. The Bears were a joke, and they just ran over them every year. This AFC West is not that, with the Denver Broncos being the second best defense in the National Football League. Some would argue the best defense in the NFL. The Los Angeles Chargers with a great head coach and Jim Harbaugh and a great quarterback. They just have dealt with injury issues. It's just what the Chargers have done. That is where this feels to me like where the Chiefs are at, is they're that heavyweight boxer that is absolutely jarred and on the canvas right now. Feels like Rodgers, where the holes that the Chiefs have can't get plugged anymore because you have so much money tied up into where your strengths are that it causes those weaknesses to gash you even more than they already were. I cannot sit here and act like I have confidence anymore. I can't. It would be disingenuous.
I think the roster, that goes back to the Brett Veach conversation, right? The roster construction and all that. I just think in general, clearly, it goes without saying, the gap has been closed with everybody else. There's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it, I think I agree with you, which is, hey, you've got some of the best coaches in the league in your division. You've got better quarterback play in the division than you've had in a couple of years. But this is not just a divisional conversation. Like, yes, it starts there. It's why we just said, hey, for the first time, the Chiefs in a decade are not going to win the AFC West. That in its own right is a huge, huge deal. but they are currently ninth in the AFC. Their wins this year are against the Giants, the Ravens when they were really down bad, the Lions, that's their best win of the season, not even close, right? The Raiders and the Commanders. They have losses against Chargers, current playoff team, Philly, current playoff team, Jacksonville, current playoff team, Buffalo, current playoff, or not current playoff team, I'm sorry, yeah. And then obviously Denver, current playoff team.
Yeah.
They haven't beat anybody. This is more than just a divisional conversation. You know what I mean? Like someone says we've watched them for 10 weeks. What's there to make us believe they're going to be anything different? Logan said that he doesn't think they're making the playoffs. I don't think we're being optimistic instead of realistic. If you've been listening to the show today, I don't think I've been overly optimistic. I know Logan hasn't either. Nope. I think we've been telling it kind of like it is. Now Logan is already saying flat he doesn't think they're making the playoffs. All I have said, I guess, that if you want to say is optimistic today, is that I don't think today I can tell you for sure they're not making the playoffs. I'm not there yet. I want to see them play the Colts. And you're saying, and that's fine, we disagree. What else do I need to see? And that's fine. That's a fine take. I'm just saying, I've seen the NFL is what I would say. It's like that weird bleep happens in the NFL. And even you would admit that you couldn't be completely shocked if they won on Sunday. I'm telling you, I don't think it's being optimistic. If they go, I'm telling you they have to go 6-1. Is that being optimistic? I'm not saying they're going to. I'm telling you they have to go 6-1. And if they beat the Colts, I think that might be in play because of the schedule. Like I just listed off how they haven't beat good teams. The beautiful thing is after the Colts, what other playoff? They got the Broncos and Chargers. The only other playoff teams possibly they're going to face. They play Tennessee. They play Houston, who's not a playoff team currently. You're tied with them, but they're not a playoff team currently. So that's all I'm saying. Like, fortunately for them, they don't play many more playoff teams. That would be my only hope moving forward. That are they still at least better than some of the crap they're going to see? Now, they're average. That's literally what they are. They are 5-5. They are an average football. By definition, they are a mediocre average football team.
The Chiefs logo is sitting there next to the definition inside Webster's dictionary.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we got into this before the Bills game, and we're going to find out when they go to Dallas, and then they still go to Houston, or excuse me, they go to Tennessee later on in the year. Their stretch when they played their best football was always at home. It was not on the road. Like we had the question before the Bills game: does the offense travel and all that? And I'm not saying that they solely lost yesterday or any of these games, because if you've been listening to the show today, you know that I think the coaching has been abysmal. But for whatever reason, some of it opponent-based, sure, Raiders and Commanders, but the Lions were at home. For whatever reason, they have played way better at home. And so if you're asking, like, why is there an ounce of some, I guess, call it optimism, that they could win on Sunday against the Colts, we'll talk more about it later in the week. It's mainly because of that. A little bit of the Arrowhead part of it. Other than that, yeah, I hear you. The Colts are coming out of a bye as well.
They posted the stat, or they put the stat up. I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday. CBS did during the broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, for the first time, Mahomes lost 4 road games in a single season. But also, looking at the disparity in his stats, and I know they probably took a hit yesterday too at home games this year. He's throwing 69% completion percentage, 14 touchdowns, 3 picks. On the road, going into yesterday, 59.6% completion rate, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks.
Yeah.
And I know that, I don't know how much, not to say that he lost not an edge, but it's hard to ignore that stat. Like at first, if it's the first 5 games of the season, you know, maybe you don't look too much into it. But now that we're halfway through the season, beyond halfway, there's got to be something to this, but I don't know exactly what it is. If it's an ounce of everything, like we've talked about today, it's play calling, it's Mahomes himself, it's drop passes, it's all of it.
Yeah, the only good thing is, I mean, maybe we'll do this more on Wednesday's show a little bit later on in the week when Cody's back too, because that's the only part about the rest of the way is that their 2 road games left are the Raiders and the Titans.
Yeah,
that's the 2 road games are the Raiders and the Titans, and that may not be enough by any means. In fact, it's not enough, just those two. But my point is, the toughest part of the schedule after Sunday is behind them. And so that's what I'm saying. If they can pull one out of their you-know-what on Sunday, and it feels like that's what it's going to take,
Yep.
Then that's the only path I could see. They lose Sunday, it's over. It's done. You know, I think they would be demoralized. Honestly, I think there would be like, they can put on a good face publicly. I think there would be some guys that are demoralized in the locker room if they were to lose three in a row, which is what it would be if they lose to the Colts, and be sitting at 5-6 and be under 500. It would be officially, in my opinion, over at that point.
You'd be losing three in a row for the second time in a calendar year. If you go
Dallas is on the road. I apologize. Yeah, sorry.
You lose the Super Bowl, and then you lose your first two games of the year this year, in this season, and then this happens again. You fall to 5-6 heading into a Week 13 game, somewhere that, I mean, obviously they've never been 5-5. So to be 5-6 is completely unfounded territory for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Drew, going back to your point about the fourth quarter stuff, and somebody in the text line said it like this earlier, says that it feels a little bit like they've gotten full on their own success. It feels like at times they've sort of become complacent. Their ability to win these one score games sort of alludes to maybe this team just feels like they can turn it on and off like a light switch, that when the moment is biggest, they can just will themselves to a win, right? Keep teams along, play with your food, quote unquote, and when it matters, strike the death blow. Well, this year, those jabs have been missing. Those uppercuts just haven't connected the way that they have in years past. And I don't know if that is because of all the success where you don't feel like it's life or death in those moments. It doesn't feel like the moment is at its brightest anymore because you've had all this success in the past.
Yeah, I mean, like I thought against the Broncos, the urgency, I mean, what other case do you need? I mean, to me, that would have been the game. Like, you know, if we're going to argue that they're just kind of going through the motions, then that's not something that's getting resolved because they just played Denver on the road out of a bye week, everything on the line, and that was still the effort that was put out there, performance that was put out there. So I don't know if I agree with this, like they're just waiting for that big moment. I think this is kind of who they are though, as a football team, that, and from a coaching staff in, not to continue to harp on the run game part, but what you just said about waiting for that moment. I think again, they want to win as a coaching staff in a certain way. And the reality in that game against Denver yesterday is it was not going to be on the final two drives of Patrick Mahomes coming up with the big throw after big throw. I know that's what it has been.
Yeah.
In that game, that's to me not what it needed to be. It needed to be run the football a little bit more. You were having success against the best defense, second best defense in football. And they refused to go that route because, in my opinion, it's the arrogance part of it. Like they want to win in the high flying way, like they did against the Commanders and the Raiders and the Lions. That's fun. That's fun. Who doesn't enjoy that? Well, I think there's some of that happens too.
If we're also in a spot now where I think we all can agree now, not only are the Chiefs worried about what they're doing, but you got to start paying attention to what Jacksonville does and what the Chargers do. Chargers have a bye week this week. They're 7-4. Jacksonville has Arizona on the road. Arizona hadn't looked that good, even though Jacoby said set an NFL record for most completions in a game. They got throttled. So I know. But if the Jags win this game and the Chiefs lose to the Colts, they have to run the table to even give themselves a chance at it. They might not even get that chance, even if they did run the table.
Yeah, and that's why I said I think they have to go 5-2. To me, won't get it done with the tiebreakers. 6-1, and then just for the psyche and everything and belief, I think it has to be a win against the Colts. Win out after losing three in a row, give me a break. They're going to lose three in a row and then win six in a row.
I don't think so.
Beat the Colts. I think they can beat the Cowboys and then see what happens against the Broncos in the rematch. And do you make sure you don't slip up against somebody else and see where you're at? But that's far fetched too. But 6-1 to me is the number. Like you can say you don't think it'll happen. That's fine. That's a different conversation. As far as what it will take, like I think 6-1, like if they did that, to me, that would guarantee them a spot. I really do believe that would be good.
It feels like
that would get them to 11 wins, and I think that would be bait. 5-2 doesn't guarantee a damn thing.
I don't know what the rest of the Chargers schedule looks like, but it feels like that fight is going to be between you and Jacksonville. And unfortunately for the Chiefs, Jacksonville has that tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Chargers, by the way, have the bye week, as you said, then Raiders, Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Texans, Broncos. So it's not the easiest schedule, but I do think the Jags.
There's more
one
room
is
for error if you're the Chargers.
This is why you should have hoped you should have been rooting for the Chargers against the Jags yesterday. We talked about on Friday. You should have hoped the Jags would have lost to the Chargers. Anyway, tomorrow a lot more coming up. Logan, thanks for filling in, man. Tomorrow Bink will be with me. Nate Taylor, Vinny Pasquantino. We'll do a little All 32. We'll talk more about this offense and the long-term positioning of the franchise legacy-wise for Patrick Mahomes. The Drive is up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.